Right, the learning of this story is, on the one hand, relatively easy because it's such a well-known story and we've heard it a lot. On the other hand, the details of it are really difficult. And so, especially the first part, I've had a hard time keeping it straight. So I'll make some suggestions about that. The first is to notice where the points of pausing are, what the climaxes are in these early episodes. So the first one is Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. That's the setup for all the rest of the story, in terms of the mystery of Jesus' presence and the delight of being able to hear about what it is that's happening, knowing that they're talking to Jesus, but they don't know it. So that's part of what is delightful about this story. The next one is they stood still, looking sad. And then the next episode is the things episode. You're the only Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there. And Jesus says, "What things?" And then they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth." So if you focus on those endings and then the things, then after that, it's pretty easy to identify because the next episode is the third day and what happens there. And then the last thing is the report on what the women found. So that whole discussion then of Cleopas to Jesus is relatively easy after you get past that first point, which is kind of confusing. The verbal threads. The big one is that they saw him, or Jesus came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And then when he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So the setup of the story is they didn't recognize him and then they did. And that's the, I don't know, that's the hook of this story is when are they going to recognize him? In the first episode, they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, and they were talking and discussing. So that talking link is the thing that keeps that episode together. In the episode of Jesus laughing at them, you fools, or you foolish men, or whatever, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets. So it's to believe all that the prophets have declared, and then beginning with Moses and all the prophets. And finally, stay with us. They urged him, saying, "Stay with us." So he went in to stay with them. That's a link between those two episodes. The thing, of course, that is the energy of this story is the secret between the storyteller and the audience. So you want to tell that in a way that invites them in. While they were talking to Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So that's the secret that the audience and the storyteller share, that the characters in the story, other than Jesus, Cleopas and his buddy, don't know. The two of them, they make fools of themselves in a way because of the things that they say about Jesus, while he's standing there. Now, all the things they say about Jesus are quite positive. The women, on the other hand, they're not very good about the women. And I think that's part of what is the setup then for Jesus saying, "How foolish you are," or "you fools," which is really what the translation should be. And that in turn is part of the ancient tradition of teachers who would rebuke their students for their stupidity. It's kind of gone out of fashion, so we don't translate it that way now. But that's really what it means. What this does is, on the one hand, to create distance between us and Cleopas and his friend, his companion. But on the other hand, it creates identity with them. And it's a highly sympathetic description of their experience as they encounter Jesus. And part of that is their grief, you know, that they are grieving about their hopes. Of course, that's part of the delight, is that in the midst of their grief and despair, Jesus is standing there talking to them. So the attitude towards the women, I think that it is probably a reflection of ancient and modern attitudes of men toward women, that, you know, well, you know how women are. They come, they have these crazy stories, and they come back, and men have to be tough-minded, and so they can't take what women say seriously. And that's part of their foolishness. So this is a very interesting dimension of this ancient story, is that these are men telling stories about how stupid men are in relation to they're not taking women seriously. And so this is a very unusual story, actually, in terms of many stories in the ancient world. So it's men making jokes about themselves in relation to their attitudes about women. The revelation of Jesus' presence is also related to his gestures. And so be sure when you tell the story, you know, take the bread, bless it, broke it, and gave it to them. Those gestures of the Eucharist. The inside view is then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Is seeing Jesus from their point of view. And so you want to tell it in that way, that has that kind of energy of what they were recognizing. The meeting at the end with the 11 is a meeting of triumph and victory. They were in despair, and now they know that Jesus is alive, and it is a time to celebrate and to recognize the victory of Jesus has taken place. This story is a story about storytelling. And there are many levels of stories that are going on. So they are telling Jesus the story about what happened. Jesus is telling them the story of the signs of the Messiah in all of the scriptures. They are telling the story of what happened on the road to the 11. The 11 are telling the story about the appearance of Jesus to Simon. So it's just, it's a story about, you know, the various levels of storytelling. So have fun telling this story, because it is one of the it's one of the greatest stories in the New Testament tradition, I think. And it's because of the mix of elements that's present and the utter delight of this resurrection narrative.